Hi there, guys. Tony here with another podcast for the Transcending Times series. And I'm really delighted. I have a very special guest on this week's podcast. This man is really at the forefront of bringing back home what has been suppressed from us, what has been fully available right in front of our eyes for so long. And he's doing wonderful things to help bring this information to light and heal people. And today I'm going to be talking to Rick Simpson, who years ago came across cannabis oil or hemp oil as a treatment for cancer. And we're going to hear more about his story. He's a documentary maker. He has his own website. And we're going to hear more about this today and get this really vital information out, which is being held back from us on purpose. And we're going to try and bring some of this to light and shine the light on this suppression that's going on and costing people thousands, millions of lives around the world when we have something there natural in nature to help us. And Rick, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, brother, and I'm happy to be with you. And, you know, in reality, this truly is, I really look back at this whole thing as being the greatest crime that's ever been committed against humanity. You know, I mean, all through history, it was a known fact that basically cannabis was the most medicinal plant in the world. It was used for thousands of years as a medicine. And these governments, you know, through corruption, you know, that was supplied by the mega rich, they just turned around and outlawed the use of the most medicinal plant on earth. And I should say also the most useful plant on earth, because we can use it in so many different ways. But, you know, it's truly a horror story that's gone on here. But now we've made the information known. So, you know, anybody can go to my website, phoenixtears.ca. The CA stands for Canada, although I'm living in Europe. But if you go there, all the information that's required that will enable you to produce your own high-quality extracts, it's all there. Fantastic. And this is what I really encourage people to do that, because there's all kinds of people out there at present, you know, scam artists using my name. You know, today they're all supplying the Rick Simpson oil, or RSO they call it. And I'm not connected with any of these people. Mm. So a lot of individuals that are sick or their family members, they'll send vast amounts of money into these people, and some of the extracts that they receive back have little or no healing value at all. You know, and there's literally nothing I can do about it. You know, people say, well, trademark your name and do this and do that. Well, it costs a great deal of money. I mean, I would have to trademark my name worldwide, and that would cost a lot of money, and then I'd have to hire an army of lawyers to enforce it. Mm. You know, so it's just out of reach.
And you're trying to enforce something which is, in the eyes of the people that are controlling this, illegal, which makes it even more difficult, doesn't it, for you, I guess?
Oh, yeah. It puts us, well, right now, I mean, all of humanity is in a horrible situation. You know, these rich industrialists, you know, Rothschilds, Rockefeller, people like that. I mean, these horrible industries that they set up all over our planet, you know, industries that are poisoning our earth. And then you've got events like the Gulf oil spill, Fukushima. I mean, our world is becoming more and more toxic every day. Mm-hmm. And we're simply not designed to live in a poisoned environment. Mm. And, you know, this is affecting our immune systems. And that's the reason we have so many, you know, so much more disease today. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all related to this, plus genetic modification, chemtrails, and all of the other nonsense we're letting them do to us. You know, I really think it's time that the human race wakes up to the simple fact that this is a God-given plant, and it is our natural right as humans to use this plant, you know, in every way we possibly can, but especially for medicinal purposes. And, I mean, the bottom line is, Tony, you know, what man has the right to stand in front of you or I, if we were suffering, you know, from a disease, or we had a loved one in our families that was suffering, what man has the right to tell us that we cannot use this plant and grow it and produce the medicine to heal our loved ones? Who is that person?
Well, it's people that want to play God, or they think they're God here, don't they? This is the problem. They feel that they rule us. We are like cattle to them. They have no respect for us. We know that they call us the useless eaters. So we're dealing with psychopaths that really don't like us and don't really want us to be here. And this is evident when you look at what's going on with cannabis and the suppression of what is a plant. I mean, how on earth can you ban nature? I mean, it's nature, for God's sake. I mean.
Well, the governments are good at banning anything they want, but I mean, it was them that caused this black market. I mean, for thousands of years, we grew cannabis freely as a farm crop. There was no regulations or restrictions of any kind because this plant does not present any danger to the public, and it never did. So it was really when the governments outlawed this plant that created the black market. And in reality, if the human race would wise up and start behaving sensibly, we could grow this plant, or different farmers everywhere should be growing it. I mean, it's part of farming, really. But if you had certain farmers growing good medicinal strains of cannabis, you should be able to go to a farmer and buy a pound or a kilo of cannabis for $10. I mean, this is a farm crop. But
Exactly.
with these restrictions they put in place and all of that propaganda, and this is what people have to realize. Everything your government ever told you about the dangers of cannabis, it was nothing more than a farce. It was all deceptions, for God's sakes. None of it was true. It was a pack of lies. And this is what people have to understand. You've been deceived. And that deception has cost the lives of hundreds of millions, if not billions of people over the last century. I mean, it's horrifying what has gone on here. And when you look at what they have today, how dare they even have the nerve to call what's going on today medicine? I mean, allopathic poisons and chemicals. Oh, and if you got cancer, well, we have chemo and radiation, which both cause cancer. I mean, these doctors are not following their Hippocratic oath. I mean, right in the Hippocratic oath, and that is the basis of medicine. It states right there, first, do no harm, and it also states that as a physician, I shall not administer poison. Now, what do these people think they're doing?
Well, exactly. I mean, the thing that frustrates me as well is that there's not enough people joining the dots. In the UK now, I think it's a one in two cancer rate. You've got diabetes going through the roof, heart disease going through the roof, Alzheimer's. All these diseases, which are just absolutely skyrocketing. Yet no one is really thinking about why that is. They're just running to the doctor, getting a suitcase full of pills, and just not getting any better. In fact, getting sicker. But they continue to have this unwavering belief in the medical system. And what I find frustrating, and I no doubt you've found this on your journey, is where you talk to people that have been affected by cancer, because most people have in some way been affected by cancer, and you tell them that there is an alternative cure that is being suppressed, and the face kind of goes blank, and it's almost like they're just not even interested in even entertaining that there might be something else out there.
Oh,
They're just quite happy to accept this one in two cancer rate, and they're
right.
quite happy to accept this chemotherapy, which, what is it, a 15-year maximum lifespan they reckon on average after chemotherapy? I mean,
I would say more like 15 minutes.
So I don't know. I think again, it's just putting too much trust in authoritative figures, isn't it? If someone with a white coat, if I turned up with a white coat and said about alternative cures, then maybe I'd get more response.
Well, I mean, what has to happen here, Tony? We all have to wake up and recognize the fact that we're not really as intelligent as we think we are. We've all been badly mis really we've been, all been badly misled. And for a long time, I used to blame the politicians and the doctors and the judges and the lawyers and the police officers, but these people were all fed the same propaganda that we were, and they accepted it, the same as most of us did. So, I mean, there is an excuse here. But at the present time, when I look at the way these governments are behaving, you know, playing games with this while their citizens continue to die, you know, this to me makes no sense at all. And they go on, you know, like, well, where's the scientific evidence? And, well, there's hundreds and hundreds of peer-reviewed studies, which are readily available. You know, and if you look on the internet and go up there on YouTube, the number of testimonials now from people who have used these extracts, and they had documented life-threatening conditions, terminal cancer and things of that nature. And, you know, well, there's the documentation. They had the disease. They were dying from it. They used these extracts, and now they're healed. But the government tells us that we should ignore this, that we really need scientific research. You know, I think we've had enough of scientific research. You know, I mean, I've read mountains of research over the years, and I mean mountains of it. And it always says three things. It may, it might, it could. Mm-hmm. They never give you a definitive answer. They're always talking in circles and big scientific terms that I don't think they even understand themselves. You know, let's get this back to reality. And the simple reality here is that, you know, this is the greatest medicine on earth. All you're doing is simply taking good bud material. You're washing the medicinal trichomes, which contain the cannabinoids, off the plant material with a solvent, or there's other ways you can do it too. I have ways I can do it with no solvents. But you remove these trichomes, and then you filter the oil solvent mix, you know, filter it well with something like a coffee filter, and then you simply boil the solvent off, leaving behind the medicinal part of that plant without the plant material. You know, it's a concentrate. Mm-hmm. And when you see what this stuff can do, I mean, not much wonder that the system is so terrified of this, because I'll tell you right now, brother, if we all stand up for our natural right to do this and we start growing our own plants and producing our own extracts, the pharmaceutical industry is out of business, because it replaces practically all of their horrible drugs. Yeah. You know, it's so much benefit in so many ways. We would need many less doctors. Hospitals would not have to be these huge monstrosities we see today. You know, if we would just get back to reality. Yeah. But like I said, the human race has been so badly misled, and we just have to come to realize that, yes, we have been deceived, and now we know exactly who's been doing this to us and why it's being done. So I think it's time for us all to wake up, you know, and really realize what's taking place, because if we go on like this, I think in another 15 years, maybe even less, we could wind up going extinct, because we're not designed to live in this type of environment. We have to clean up the planet, and what better way to do it than with cannabis? You know, we can put an end on unemployment, put people back on the land, you know, making a decent living, an end to starvation, and no more energy crisis. We don't need to be using fossil fuels anyway. You know, we can grow our fuel, and anything that you can produce from fossil fuels, you can produce from the cannabis plant. And now with the new enzyme processes they have, you can get as much as 1,800 gallons of ethanol off of one little acre of hemp.
Wow.
Now, that's enough to run your car, heat your home, and probably have a few hundred gallons left to sell if you wish. You know, we could all be energy independent. You know, all you'd need is a small production facility in every town or area, and then people could just take their crops in there, have it processed into the alcohol, and there's your energy requirements. You know, it's such a simple, sensible solution to most of the problems we currently face. But yeah, these people that are running our world, or our countries, these so-called governments, I mean, they're literally under the control of the big industrialists, and they have been for a very long time. And they're going to continue to support those industrialists. They're not working for the people. You know, I mean, we pay them these huge salaries to represent us properly, and they're not working for us at all. You know, it's a real horror story. And in really, you know, in reality, the human race has always been nothing but slaves. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just about time we woke up and took control of our own destiny. And I firmly believe that we can evolve into being something better than we currently are. And I think we better do it quick.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you, Rick. You know, it's very, very true. We have been misled. We are slaves at the moment, but they are terrified of not only this plant, but they are terrified of us standing in our power, stepping into that mindset of saying, no, we're not your slaves anymore. You know, we have everything on this planet to survive and thrive without so-called people in dark suits. And it's just moving away from this child mindset of needing a babysitter, need people to, you know, wean us and feed us, where we take the responsibility into our own hands, and you know, we can do it. And you know, I love the passion there, because I firmly believe it as well. And I think we are living in a time where we're starting to sort of you know, wake up a little bit from our slumber. And you know, it's interesting times, but you're absolutely right. They're terrified of this plant, and not only on what it can do for us as human beings health wise but what it can do to the environment. I mean, they have completely radiated this planet, like you say, with chemtrails, Fukushima. I mean, if you could actually see the radiation on this planet at the moment, it must be extreme. And if to know that a plant could solve that issue as well, I think there needs to be some kind of movement where everyone starts growing this in their own backyards and just sticking the middle finger up. Because, you know, what can they do? They can't arrest everyone, can they?
Well, this is what I've always said. Yes, if people would just, you know, wise up and realize that it is their right to do this. And basically, I mean, if the police come, I would just say, hey, go to hell. I mean, they have no right to be enforcing this nonsense. These are not real laws. They're based in corruption, you know. But, you know, so many people today, you know, they go along with this thing, you know, like the world is becoming overpopulated. Mm. Oh, really? You know, I mean, this is so... I don't know what's wrong with people. I mean, I've done a lot of flying, you know, in aircrafts, and when you look down, basically, what do you see?
Yeah, fields.
Fields and empty land. I mean, there's no shortage here of you know, of the resources for us to live. As a matter of fact, I think that this Earth could actually easily support 25, 30 billion people if it was properly managed. But that's what's wrong today. Our world is not being managed properly. It's being run by these monsters, you know, who are literally, I mean, when you look at what these people have been doing, you know, for all of these years, they are literally psychopaths. They have to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Rothschild family alone, I guess, the last I heard, they're supposed to be worth something like $500 trillion. $500 trillion. They have enough money to feed, house, and clothe every human being on Earth. And the Rothschilds, along with many of these other industrials, like the Rockefellers and Warburgs, there's quite a group of them. I mean, they've been basically funding every major conflict on this planet for the last 200 years. And in many cases, they're causing these conflicts.
Of course.
You know, so they fund both sides, and no matter who wins, it doesn't matter, because they come out making huge profits. Mm. You know, we're cannon fodder. We're going and fighting these idiotic wars. Over what? You know, and you look what's going on right now, like in Afghanistan. You know, troops up there guarding poppy fields where most of the world's heroin opium supply comes from. You know, this is ridiculous, because when the Taliban was in charge, they planted cannabis. They took out the opium poppy, and they planted cannabis. But when our brave soldiers landed, out come the cannabis. You know, it's truly pathetic. You know, and when you look at, you know, look at the CIA and all those plane loads of cocaine they flew in from Central and South America. They got all of America addicted to cocaine. Now, isn't the Central Intelligence Agency a federal or a government agency? You know, it's so idiotic, you know, that in reality, the biggest drug dealers on this planet, are the governments themselves.
Absolutely.
They're the biggest drug dealers, but they think they have the right to come and put us in jail for growing a God-given medicinal plant. Well, I've got news for them. You know, it's time for this to come to an end. I'm not happy with any of this nonsense about legalization or decriminalization, because both of those terms come with a lot of control.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not willing to play this game. As far as I'm concerned, I want every government worldwide, matter of fact, I'm demanding that every government worldwide immediately repeal these laws. and restrictions. I mean, take them and throw them in a trash can, because none of it's based in reality anyway, and no government or no one else ever had the right to outlaw the use of this plant.
Yeah, absolutely. I stand right beside you on that one, for sure. And I was going to ask you, because they are, I think it's pretty clear, they're starting to, quote-unquote, legalize this plant now in certain parts of America and stuff like that. I'm of the opinion that they're going to genetically modify and allow genetically modified crops. I think that's what they're up to. I mean,
they're already doing it, Tony. Mm. And Monsanto's already involved with cannabis. As a matter of fact, from what I understand, they got quite a strong foothold in Uruguay. And, you know, again, this genetic modification, it should not be allowed, period. And as far as I'm concerned, I think we should all get together and go burn Monsanto down. I mean, we've had enough of their nonsense. And, you know, and as far as cannabis, they should keep their fingers out of cannabis. We don't need them.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, Monsanto is the Satan's spawn, basically. And yeah, it's just interesting how there more and more of these stories of people being cured is also being leaked in mainstream media now. You see it more and more every day. They're appearing in the newspapers or on the BBC website, and I just wonder whether or not they're kind of piggybacking on truth now. They know there's been so many people like yourself, Rick, that have been getting out this message that we have the cures, that they can't hide it any longer. So they're starting to sporadically let certain stories leak out to kind of give themselves, their media machine, credibility. I think maybe that's going on as well.
Well, there's to me, when I look at what's happening right now, again, it's just, again, more deceptions. They're trying to mislead the public in so many different ways. You know, you go out there now and you see all of this about CBD. There's even seed companies that are basically saying that CBD extracts are the only extracts that are medicinal. You know, really? What a bunch of nonsense. I mean, all the research that I've, you know, accomplished myself and Raphael Malisham or Michelin, and when you look at Guzman and all these people, I mean, we were all working with strains with high THC, or we were working with THC predominantly. And Rick, even on the American Cancer Institute's own website, they openly state that THC is very effective in the treatment of several different types of cancer. But here you got a world full of people running around with cancer looking for CBD extracts that probably will prove to be ineffective. Yeah. You know, there's so much misinformation out there. It's truly frightening, Tony.
Yeah, absolutely. Just for listeners, could you just break down the difference between CBD and THC, and the differences in?
Well, the main difference is like THC is a psychoactive component, but it also has a whole array of wonderful, you know, medicinal benefits. Now, CBD has medicinal benefits too, but the problem is with this plant, Tony. I mean, a good friend of mine who's looked at as being one of the top experts in the world, and he is, Dr. Lamir Hanoush. He works at Hebrew University with Michelin. And he did a study here about 2 years ago, and he told me, he said, Rick, he said, I isolated 108 different cannabinoids. But he said, there's still more. So we don't even know how many cannabinoids, you know, are actually in this plant. And we don't really know the effect of what many of these little minuscule amounts of these cannabinoids actually do. So, I mean, we're just scratching the surface here. But see, this is the problem. The governments have always stood in the way. They won't let us do the proper research openly the way it should be done. You know, and I've always pushed for the high THC extracts because that's what I've always had the best results with. And, you know, you see the CBD, it's effective for epilepsy, things of that nature. But in a lot of cases, it's only effective to some degree. You know, a lot of these children, you see, like, yes, the amount of seizures they have will decrease, you know, quite dramatically. But in many cases, even though they're still taking the extract, they will still have these seizures a couple times a week. They're still having seizures. They're not having hundreds of them anymore, thank God, but they're still having seizures. And I know quite a few families now that they've put their children on THC, and now the seizures are gone completely. So, you know, the people just have to understand, like, you know, I don't know why, but, you know, there's so many people that are afraid of this term, you know, getting high. And but, you know, if you grow this, or if you're using the proper indica strains, which are very sedative, you know, it just creates a sleepy effect. After an hour or so, you'll become sleepy, and it's telling you to go lay down and heal. And this is what, you know, these indica extracts promote. But people have to understand that there's other varieties, like the sativa strains. Now, sativa strains are energizing, and they may have the right cannabinoids to heal your cancer. But they have this horrible, you know, these strong sativas, when you make an extract, they can have horrible energizing effects. They literally make you almost bounce off the walls. And I've talked to a good number of patients that tried to use sativa extracts to treat their cancer and other problems. And some of them, it scared them so badly that they refused to even use the extract after that. So, people need to be aware of that. But, what I always told the patients, you know, there is no reason to be frightened. When the oil is telling you to go lay down, simply do it. You know, don't fight the effects. If you fight the effects, that could cause a certain amount of anxiety. But what really creates the most anxiety, I find, is there's so many of these crosses now. Indicas crossed with sativas. Now, if you've got an indica strain, or what is classified as an indica strain, but yet it's 30 or 40% sativa, see, that energizing effect that's within those extracts now, they can cause this problem, and they, you know, they can cause more anxiety. So, I mean, I just like to see people relax and take this medicine, and like I said, the beauty of it is, I mean, you can't overdose and die. If you take a massive dose of my oil, all you would do is sleep. And when you woke up, you'd be unharmed. So yeah. There's no danger. This is not like the medicine that we're used to, you know, where if you take too many aspirins, you can die. And a lot of people do. You know, this is medicine that is perfectly safe. It's totally non-addictive. And I'd like to bring up this term, you know, it's a gateway drug. We've heard that nonsense for years, you know, and that's nothing but a bald-faced lie. But I do agree, in a way. It is a great, I call it a gateway medicine, and it's a gateway back. We can take people off these horrible addictions that, you know, that they've had from the pharmaceutical industry for years, you know, these opiates and painkillers. You become heavily addicted to this stuff. And we've used these extracts. I've treated many people, you know, with terminal cancers and other problems, and they had been taking, you know, very strong, you know, morphine, hydromorphine, things of that nature. They'd been taking it for months. Badly addicted. And so when they start taking the extracts, I always tell them, start with the extracts, reduce your dosage of pain medication, and just keep increasing the amount of extract you're taking as quickly as possible. Usually within 2 weeks, we can take people off of the strongest, most addictive painkillers. Within 2 weeks, and they hardly go through any withdrawal symptoms. So we can actually use these extracts to reclaim so many lives that are basically lost. I mean, we live in a drug-addicted society. Mm-hmm. Everybody's walking around popping pills, and in many cases, they don't even realize that they're addicted to them.
Yeah,
you know,
well, they
we,
do
we
have...
can bring these people back.
Yeah, absolutely. I've seen it in my own family, with family members being on lots of different drugs, and luckily managed to sort of intervene with a more holistic approach and help get them off, and their health has improved, and that was without cannabis. But they do have this addictive quality about them. But just going back to the gateway drug, I think the gateway drug, which ironically is freely available, is alcohol, and nobody really bats an eyelid about that and all the damage that does to the body and to the mind and everything like that. They want to demonize a plant.
Well, I mean, today, too, these drug companies are trying to get all our children on pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, today, you know, the teacher says that your child has ADHD. Well, the teacher's not a doctor, and I don't think she has any right to diagnose anything. But then the child is sent to a doctor. The doctor takes the teacher's advice and puts them on Ritalin or some other stupid drug. I mean, they don't know, you know, the long-term effects, you know, these chemicals can have. And there's so many of these incidents now, well, like Bowling for Columbine. If you watch that about those two young teenagers going in and shooting their classmates, you know, I always, when I seen that, I thought, you know, this just doesn't make sense. You know, what are these kids on? Mm. And I watched, and although, like, Bowling for Columbine never mentioned a word about the pharmaceuticals, recently I watched an interview with Michael Moore, the guy that produced that film. And he came out and openly stated himself that he felt that it was the pharmaceuticals himself that caused this. But he I think he was kind of apologizing for not bringing that into the film, which he should have done, actually.
Yeah.
But, you know, these chemicals and things that they're giving our children, antidepressants, you know, you name it. I mean, you know, they can have effects that, you know, that are totally unexpected. But with cannabis, there's no bad effects. You know, it's the beauty of it is it can be used as a preventative medicine. We should be giving our children small doses of these extracts every day, and I'm not talking about getting the kiddies high.
No.
You know, once you're used to this, you don't get high on it anyway. But it protects them. You know, it can prevent diseases like cancer, diabetes, multiple sclerosis. So many of these diseases can be prevented. And another thing is the amazing ability of these extracts to rejuvenate vital organs.
Mm.
You know, it's amazing what it does. And that would, you know, that would certainly lessen the need for all of these damn transplants. And I think you're better off keeping your own organs anyway. Just rejuvenate them, and, you know, then there's no more problems. But, you know, this is, you know, the use of these extracts in a very short time, it's going to change the face of medicine as we know it forever. And believe me, it's high time we got rid of this system that we call medicine today, because it simply is not working. And it is really, truly horrific, you know, what they've done to people over the last few decades.
Yeah, absolutely. It's genocide, more or less, what they're doing.
Yes, it is.
But what I find interesting is that it was only, what, 100 years ago, maybe even shorter than that, where we were regularly using this crop for medicine and for other things, and how in such a short space of time it's almost completely disappeared, how they've managed to do that.
Well, that's easy. There's a man from Canada named James Corbett. He does a series on YouTube called The Corbett Report.
I know, yeah.
Okay, if you go to episode 286 of The Corbett Report, it's called Rockefeller Medicine. If you sit down and you watch that report, then you'll know why we have a medical system that don't work. I mean, this is so damn pathetic, because back in the 1800s, these big drug companies that we still have today, E.I. Lilly, Parker Davis, Squibb, these people were all producing many medications that contained extracts from cannabis. It was one of their major ingredients in hundreds of different medications. But yet, these same drug companies, they seem to have no idea about the healing powers of this plant. You know, what really happened is, I honestly believe that the pharmaceutical industry has probably known how to cure cancer for at least 150 years.
Mm.
You know, because, you know, I mean, if you look at that time period, they were making all kinds of extracts from medicinal plants and herbs and supplying to the public as medicine. Well, of course, with the reputation that cannabis had, of course you're going to make the essential oil or the extracts from this plant, because it's always known to be the most medicinal. I think that they actually did that, and I believe that they probably ran a few tests and then suddenly realized, well, guess what? We got a cure-all here. But at that time, farmers worldwide were growing it freely. Now, what would happen if those farmers found out that they were growing the greatest, you know, miracle medicine right in their own backyard? The drug companies would be out of business. So this went on for quite a few years. Actually, even up into the early 1900s, they were still selling these cannabis-based medicines. But in the 1880s, they started combining, you know, these different chemicals, different mixtures. And, you know, if you do that, you can patent it. Well, that's perfect for them. You see, they couldn't patent the hemp plant, so this is the way it took off towards the allopathic medicines. And it was really Rockefeller, J.D. Rockefeller himself, that was responsible for all of this, because in the early 1900s, him and his rich friends got together and they started forming medical foundations. And then these foundations, in turn, they took over the medical schools. And they pushed the old form of medicine, you know, empirical medicine, medicine from plants, they pushed that right out the back door. And all they wanted to do was supply the public with these chemicals and poisons. And actually, these substances are often byproducts from some of their horrible industries. So basically what they've done, they've convinced, the public that these toxins are actually medicine. And they've been feeding it, all of this nonsense to us, and we've been eating these pills for a very long time now. So if that's not a crime against humanity, I don't know what you'd call it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely it is. And it defies belief that it, just in such a short space of time, we've become so disconnected from the plant. But obviously it's by design, and it's great that people like yourself are bringing this back to the forefront. But we did mention off air just before the interview, we laughed a little bit because we were laughing at the simplicity of what it is we're talking about. We're talking about a plant, aren't we, that can cure nature. You said something along the lines of, what you're doing is nothing difficult. It's just, you're just talking about something that's already there.
Well, yes. I mean, to me, it was just common sense. I mean, some people have said, Rick Simpson is a genius. Well, I don't think it took much genius to figure this one out. I mean, you take the most medicinal plant in the world, you take the most powerful part of that plant, the most psychoactive and powerful part of that plant, which is the bud. And if you take the resins off the bud material, then it no longer has these traits. So obviously, it's in all of this is in the resins, they're in the trichomes. So, all I did, where smoking cannabis actually helped me better than anything the medical system had provided, because everything they gave me, all it did was more damage. So, but I knew that smoking cannabis did have a better effect than their medications. So in 1999, I just took it to the next level. And I thought, well, if I take this plant material, a good bud material, and wash it off, wash the trichomes off with a good solvent, and then I filter it, like through coffee filters, to take out any plant material or anything unwanted. And then all you have to do is take the solvent oil mix and boil the solvent off. And what are you left with? Well, could it be a miracle drug? But all of these scientists and researchers and all of these people that have been searching for the cure for cancer for so long couldn't figure that one out. I mean, I got a grade 8 education, brother, and I got no medical background. I'm a power engineer by trade, although I did work in a hospital for quite some time. But, I have no faith in humanity anymore after I've seen this, because it just shatters any belief you ever had that humans are even half smart. Mm. If we can be deceived this easily to this magnitude and cause so much suffering, this is what people have to understand. It is our right to use this plant. And if we began to use it, can you imagine the suffering worldwide that could be relieved?
Absolutely.
It's horrible.
Yeah, and it's down to everyone, Rick. I mean, you're at the forefront of this particular issue, but, it's down to each and every one of us to be... We were talking off-air about how important the courage aspect is to stand up and speak out and to, really get in people's faces with this kind of information and, rock the boat. If people, friends and family are going to think you're strange or weird, then so be it. I mean, this is a much larger cause, and people worried about what their partner or their friend or the government is going to think about them. What are we? If we cannot as a human race stand up when we are being attacked, we're basically in a war. If we are not going to defend ourselves and just roll over, we almost deserve to be wiped out, because we are not capable of looking after ourselves, standing up for anything. And I think there's a huge difference in knowing what's going on and actually acting upon what you know and doing something about it, even if it's something... You don't have to get in front of a camera or on a radio show, but just don't be quiet and speak out and encourage this movement.
Well, we had an email here recently from a man who had used these extracts to heal himself from a terminal illness, and I had to laugh when at the end of the email he said, I strongly feel that it is much better to be illegally alive rather than to be legally dead.
Yeah, you're joking. You're joking.
No, word for word.
Oh, no. I mean, that is just pathetic, isn't it? And that is where a lot of people's mindsets are at. You know, they don't want to rock the boat. They want an easy life. They don't want to fall out with people. You know, I mean, no one wants to fall out with people, for sure. But, you know, they just want to float along. They're happy in their, you know, their careers. They're happy watching X Factor on a Saturday evening. And that'll be it till they die. I mean, you know, that would scare the life out of me, that existence. I would much rather have something to fight for and a cause. And much rather be illegally dead at the age of 36.
We have the reason to fight. I mean, all our loved ones, our children, coming generations, our grandchildren. I mean, what kind of future are we leaving them? It really, I mean, it is our responsibility as rational humans to stand up and do something and do it now. Mm. Because, I mean, in a short time from now, it'll be too late. I mean, they've already almost destroyed this planet. Mm. And so it really is up to us, you know, to stand up and create our own destiny, change this world, make it into a better place. Because I firmly believe that in a very short time, if we use cannabis properly, we could begin to turn this whole planet into the paradise it was meant to be. Mm. You know, we don't need to spend our entire lives suffering. And, you know, it's ridiculous when you have a plant here that can solve all of these issues and make you feel so much better and make you live longer, much longer, as a matter of fact, I think. Yeah. And, you know, and it's not just humans, it's all animal life. You know, these extracts are amazing when you're treating animals like dogs. I mean, I've seen dogs cured of terminal cancer in 2 weeks. Wow. You know, because they have a faster metabolism than a human. You can almost see it happening. You know, tumors reducing by, you know, like 2/3 in one night. You know, I've seen this kind of thing. So, you know, it has so many uses, but particularly I would like to see it, you know, back on the land because, you know, the farmers need a decent crop they can grow and make money from, of course, and make a living. You know, and as long as they don't try to push that to extreme levels, this is what's happening today. I mean, everybody that gets involved in the cannabis industry, it seems all they want to do is make a big pile of money. Mm. You know, and what I see too in the states, particularly, you know, all these states that have legalized now, about half of them have, and what's happening there, they're giving out these damn licenses to certain individuals. But I know a lot of people that tried to get these licenses, you know, these licenses too. They applied, but they were rejected. But the outfits that had the big money interests behind them, strangely, they didn't have any trouble getting the licenses. So again, it's the big money moving in, trying to control this, and they're promoting, you know, regulations and restrictions. Well, of course they are, because they can make more money that way. But I mean, in reality, nobody has the right to regulate or restrict this plant in any way. Absolutely. So I mean, you know, and so they're just doing this, you know, over profits. And they've got so many people going along with it. It's like you look at Normal. Normal is promoting this. Now, why would Normal, an organization that says that they've been trying to legalize cannabis, you know, for 40 years now, why would Normal go along with such nonsense about regulations when they know that cannabis is harmless? Mm. You know, and then even people like Cheech and Chong. I've seen them on video clips, you know, backing the regulations. You know, I mean, I don't know what's wrong with these people, but they're actually, in my mind, they must be under the influence of the big money. And this is what has to come to an end.
Well, I think also there's a lot of wolves in sheep's clothing out there, isn't there? They're masking themselves as being on the side of truth, and I'm sure you've run into many of them, as I have.
Hidden.
Yeah.
Hidden agendas. Yeah, you'll find that everywhere in the cannabis movement.
Yeah.
You know, I often wonder, I'm supposed to be the leader of the movement, but I'm the leader of what? This movement is so fragmented, and there's so many, you know, self-interest groups and, you know, and people with hidden agendas all involved in this. You know, it just truly sickens me.
I know.
You know, it's just simple. Set the cannabis plant free, and we set ourselves free from all of this oppression we've suffered for all these years. And this is what's got to be done.
Absolutely, and I love that you're coming from that place as well. And I think it's worth noting that Rick has never—he's always made this information free, and it's always there on his website for everyone to look at and to find themselves. And you know, you're absolutely right that even in this so-called more conscious movement, there's people that are still in it to make a buck. And you know, you see it in a lot of the sort of spiritual new age circles. And you just wonder how deep you have to go to find the, you know, the real decent people that are just want a better world sometimes. And yeah, I completely get where you're coming from there.
Well, you see, Tony, I mean, I grew this on a fairly large scale myself, and I know how cheaply these extracts can be produced. And I've always openly stated to the public that if they turn somebody like me loose, I could provide the public with a full 60-gram treatment of the highest quality medicinal oils you can imagine for $100. Mm-hmm. But in reality, if our governments were any good at all, I mean, they have all kinds of land. All they'd have to do is hire a few people to go there, set up a cannabis farm growing the most medicinal strains, set up a production facility, and they should be supplying these extracts to their public on a donation basis. That would be good government. But do you see any of these governments doing this?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's the last thing that they would want, isn't it?
Well, it's like I said, the situation they're in, they're all bought and paid for. And really what happens now, you see, when the truth is that all of this is coming out, they can't stop it. Mm. But in the end, these governments are all going to have to admit that they acted in a criminal fashion when they outlawed this plant. I mean, they did a huge amount of damage to, you know, to every human being on this planet when they pulled that stunt. Mm. And it truly is, I think, the darkest chapter in man's history, because so many billions of people have died, you know, for no reason other than greed. You know, yeah. So I think it's time that we wise up as a species and see ourselves for what we really are and how easily we can be manipulated. And it's time for us to bring that manipulation to an end.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the offshoots of it as well. All these other organizations piggybacking, making money off of it. I mean, like, you have Cancer Research UK making millions, if not billions, and the CEO there is earning like 300 grand a year or something like that. And you've got people running around in parks. And what's even worse is what I've seen is that it's almost like mockery. I mean, they have these special events that raise awareness. Where like shaving your head for cancer and things like that, and it's just they've got a few things. They had one on barbecuing, a barbecue day. Cancer Research had one barbecue day. Now, burnt food.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Is one of the worst things. It's one of the biggest cancer causes.
Carcinogenic.
Exactly. And, you know, what kind of sick psychopath is behind a campaign which clearly knows that burnt food would... Because why else would you have a barbecue day? I mean, it's pretty random, isn't it? Let's have a barbecue day to raise money for cancer. I mean, you know, there's some kind of sick psychopath behind that knows burnt food is full of carcinogens and knows what it can do to cause cancer, and it's like, well, they're like, well, hello, let's have a right laugh and we'll get them having a barbecue day while we rake in loads more money. And it's even sicker than them just suppressing cures. It's almost like the mockery of it all that I find absolutely just so agitating. It gets me so angry.
Well, I mean, in the U.S. in particular, I mean, and Canada too. I mean, none of the meat we have in North America is even safe to eat. It's full of growth hormones, antibiotics. They can't even sell it here in Europe. You know, people here, they look at this meat as being contaminated. And, you know, and again, there's more carcinogenic effects. So, you know, it's totally outrageous what's going on here. But, you know, like you said, the average person, they're just happy to come home and turn on their boob tube and watch the news and all of that. But what they don't understand is that all of these news medias are controlled by the same people who actually control the governments, they control the pharmaceutical industry, the energy companies, they control it all. Mm-hmm. And they also control the mainstream media, so they only feed us what we want us to hear. And as far as I'm concerned, you know, basically, if you watch the TV news, and if they tell you something, if you just turn it around opposite, you know, I think you'll find that it's much closer to the truth.
Exactly, you know? Yeah, whatever they tell you is happening, believe the exact opposite, and you're much, much closer.
Well, people have to realize this horrible effect that these newspapers and television and radio, there's all these, you know, different forms of media. You know, it's having a horrible effect because it's keeping people, you know, misinformed so badly. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is truly a horror story. And, you know, I mean, we have to realize that, you know, there really is one big conspiracy that is actually running this planet. And it's a conspiracy put together by the richest, you know, and most, you know, well-to-do families among us. And that would be Rothschilds, Rockefellers, and that group. They're the ones who are actually controlling everything. And when you realize, you know, the extent of their control, I mean, if you don't call that a conspiracy, what could you call it?
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, even the fact that they have the Cancer Act as well, whereby you can be prosecuted or thrown into a cage just for exploring your own cancer alternatives. I mean, the very fact that that law exists should be sending alarm bells into everyone's head.
Well, of course they should. You know, I mean, the American government themselves, I mean, that's a real horror story there, because, I mean, in the mid-70s, the medical school in Virginia, there was a study conducted there to prove that cannabis caused cancer. And what it proved was the exact opposite. It proves that some of these cannabinoids were actually killing cancer cells. The American government immediately had that shut down. And, of course, cannabis was a Schedule I drug, no medicinal uses. And they confiscated all the research from the different universities that they could in the U.S., and then they put it all back in the hands of the pharmaceutical industry. Because, you know, their aim was to take the high out of this medicine. You know, I mean, they don't worry about the damn high the opiates provide, do they?
Absolutely.
But the idea was they wanted to make synthetic cannabinoids, because synthetic cannabinoids can be patented, and they can charge enormous prices, and they do. But these synthetic cannabinoids do not have the healing effects of the natural cannabinoids from the plant itself. And from what I understand, it's only effective for about 13% of people, and it can come with horrible side effects. And I even heard that there has been a death or two reported from the use of these synthetic cannabinoids. You know, so again, this is all nonsense. Why do we need synthetic cannabinoids when the cannabis plant itself can provide all we could ever want? You know, again, it's just about money and greed and these people playing games against us. But, you know, this is what I mean. I mean, people have to unite. We have to just get together and with one voice tell our governments plain and simple, we've had enough of your nonsense. Mm. You know, now get out of our way. We can't allow this to continue.
Yeah, I think it's just not even asking them for anything. It's just saying, do you know what? I'm just going to grow it. You know, I don't give a shit what you think. I really don't care what you think. I'm just going to. And I think on a wider scale, not just only with cannabis, but just in general, we have to get away from the idea that we need psychopathic maniacs that go around starting illegal wars, abusing our children, banning nature, having us live in a scarcity environment, survival, struggling. We have to get away from the fact that we need these people at all. That is where it's anarchy. It's no rule. Anarchy means no rulers, because they do not serve us. They never have served us. And I think that this whole issue can be a catalyst for that, whereby we say, look, you know, you're basically obsolete. You know, we have to start disobeying immoral laws. We have to be brave enough. But like you say, it's only going to work if we have the numbers. So, you know, it's no good to a few people having that mindset. It has to be everyone. I mean, they can't do that with 7 billion people. Well, or even half that, even, you know, to 2.5-3 billion people, even if you got half the people to have that mindset of, I'm not a slave, I don't have rulers, and this is how I'm going to live my life, and I don't care what you think, as long as I'm causing no harm, causing no loss to any other person, I will do what I want to do. And that's the mindset we've got to have. And we can figure out building roads and stuff like that. I mean, you know, we are much more than we, not perhaps at the moment, but we have the potential to be much more than what we are, and we can easily get our heads together and build a few roads and, you know, sort things out between ourselves. But we, you know, these people are psychopaths, they're mentally ill. Why on earth would we want these people representing us and making decisions on our behalf? That's just insanity.
Well, in reality, what we have to do, I'm not saying to put, you know, the Rockefellers and Rothschilds, I'm not saying to put them in jail, because I just look at these people as being sick. And maybe a good 60-gram treatment of oil might actually help their thinking abilities a little bit. But, I mean, what I look at is, I think what should be done, we should take them into a common law court, because that's really the only form of real court anyway. Take them into a common law court, make them admit their guilt, give them enough money, you know, leave them enough money that they can live out their lives in comfort. That's fine by me. But strip them of all their power and resources. You know, and what we need now, I would say, is a, we do need a worldwide government. But, you know, when I look at it, I'm not talking about this New World Order nonsense. You know, we need a world council of different people from different, you know, from regions all over the planet, representing their people honestly with an open book policy. Then you take all of this money and resources that has been stripped from this rich elite, which, I mean, these are the proceeds of crimes that they committed against us anyway. I mean, if I rob a bank, I don't get to keep the money if I get caught, do I? So they shouldn't either. But put these resources in the hands of these individuals and let them distribute, you know, these resources and wealth. Let them distribute it worldwide. Help everyone everywhere. And we could do this.
Yeah, I mean, whatever it is, we have to become our own leaders, I think. We all have to become our own leaders. And, you know, I just think the minute you give people a certain amount of power, it can go to their heads and, you know, it could be infiltrated or whatever. But yes, we have to change our mindsets and become, you know, really self-responsible for our own actions and really stand up and, like you say, you know, not live in fear of these people, because that's how they get away with what they get away with. Nobody wants to speak out, or very few people want to speak out about it, and that's how they thrive. They thrive in people's silence, or they thrive in the fact that people believe they have no power. This whole, like, little me syndrome, what can I do? Well, one person can have a huge difference. You know, look at what you're doing, for example. Look at the likes of David Icke and other people, and, you know, amazing people that just one person can make a huge difference. We're all ripples in the pond, aren't we, at the end of the day?
Well, we're all fighting to try to make this world a better place, and we see how that could be accomplished so simply. But trying to get this information into heads of other people, I mean, you know, it's hard to believe that so many people will turn their back on, you know, on this type of evidence and proof. You know, and the only reason they're doing this is either one of two reasons. They're either badly misinformed, or someone's paying them to ignore it. And I think it's more like somebody's paying them to ignore it. It's time for this to come to an end. And I mean, I used to have a lot of respect for highly educated people, but believe me, that respect has diminished a great deal over the years. And you know, and I've talked to so many people with high degrees, and they just get this stupid look on their face when you start talking about this. It's like even they can't accept it. And these are supposed to be the smartest people among us.
So, yeah, well, you know, I guess they've been through the ringer with the indoctrination. I was going to ask you, actually, because I've watched Run from the Cure a couple of times, and I just wanted you to, for people that perhaps haven't seen that, just sort of go through your journey and how you ended up starting with this, and the problems that you found along the way when you were trying to get people to look at it. If you could, if you don't mind, just tell our listeners a little bit more about your own story there.
Okay, that's about a 15-minute answer, but I'll do it as fast as I can, brother. Yeah. Well, I mean, back in 1972, I watched my 25-year-old cousin die a horrible death from cancer. And at that time, he was the first person I ever knew that had cancer, and he's the first person I ever knew that died from it. It was still that rare at that time. And it was about 2 or 3 years after he died. I worked at a hospital at that time, and I was leaving work this day, and I turned on the radio, and the local radio station, the announcer come on, he was laughing like a fool, and he said, "This report just in, THC, the active ingredient in marijuana," and I hate that word, it should be cannabis, but the active ingredient in marijuana had been found to kill cancer cells. But he was laughing like a fool, so you know, I didn't take it seriously, but for some reason it stuck in my head. And then in 1997, I suffered a severe head injury, which left me with a condition they call post-concussion syndrome. In my case, my head rings 24 hours a day. There's nothing they can do, and it affects your blood pressure and balance and all kinds of problems. But when this happened, of course, I mean, I worked at the, and again, I was working at the medical system at that time, and so they started giving me all these medications and horrible effects. It didn't do a damn thing for me. And about a year after I was injured, I was watching an episode of The Nature of Things with Dr. David Suzuki. And it was titled Reefer Madness 2. But it showed all these people smoking cannabis, you know, and they were getting wonderful relief from many serious conditions. So, I mean, I had smoked cannabis before, but I never looked at it like a medicine. So I went out and I got some cannabis from a friend, and sure enough, it worked better than anything the doctors were giving me. So I started, you know, in Canada, we had the Marijuana Access Program at that time, or Medical Access Program. So I started going to these doctors, because I've seen dozens of them, and I started asking all of them for a prescription so I could join, you know, the Medical Access Program. They wouldn't give it to me, you know, and this went on and on, so I just kept taking their pills because I still believed in the medical system. You know, and they seem, when it comes to cannabis, they seem very reluctant to even go there. You know, it's still under study, it's bad for the lungs, and they'll tell you anything anyway. So by 1999, I was basically getting to the point I was becoming suicidal from the effects of these medications, and that's very common with their use. So I went to my doctor's office one day, and I said to him, I said, "What would you think if I produced the essential oil from that plant and ingested it as opposed to smoking it?" And the doctor got a real weird look on his face when I come up with that one. But he did admit that this would be a much more medicinal way to use the plant. So this was 1999, so I went home and I had grown a small amount of cannabis, so I made the extract right then. And but the problem was, I realized, you know, that this is now a very strong medical concentrate. But I didn't know what it would do to me. You know, I had no medical knowledge about this. So basically, it sat there for almost 3 years. I did take a couple little dabs of it, but not enough to of any consequence, because I was really frightened of this stuff. So, late 2001, I was called to my doctor's office. There's nothing more we can do for you. You're now on your own. You know, and by that point, my thinking capacity was so bad that I could hardly even remember my own name. Again, this is the effects from these damn chemicals the medical system had been feeding me. So having nowhere else to turn, I went home and I started ingesting these extracts, and the effects were so dramatic. I mean, I began to lose weight, you know, and I was detoxifying, although I didn't realize that's what was happening at the time. The arthritis in my knees disappeared. I had that for quite a few years. And, you know, I now began to get the sleep I needed, because I was sleep deprived, I mean, horribly sleep deprived for 5 years. I couldn't rest because this noise wouldn't allow me to sleep. And then my blood pressure and everything came under control. It did so many things for me that was just mind-boggling. And it did it, you know, very quickly. So within a month or so, I mean, the change was radical. But about a year afterwards, I went to my doctor about these three areas I'd had on my skin, one on the right side of my nose, one on my left cheek, and one on my chest. And these were lesions that I'd had, like open lesions, that I'd had from the time from the 1990s, and they'd been there for years. They wouldn't heal, so I suspected they were skin cancer. So I went in, the doctor looked at them, and he was concerned about the one close to my eye, you know, because, you know, the proximity is not good. So he said, "We'll operate on that first area first," and he said, "Then you'll come back at a later date and we'll do the other two areas." So I said, okay. So I went in, I had the operation, And it was a few days later, I was looking at where they had operated, and it was infected a little bit, and it was quite ugly, but that's standard today in hospitals. And it was right at that moment that that report I had heard almost 30 years before popped back into my mind. But at that point, I had been ingesting, you know, about a quarter of a gram of these extracts, or a third of a gram at night, for about a year. So I knew that the extracts I had, you know, I had at my disposal were full of THC. So I thought, you know, if that report was really true, then why do I still have the skin cancer? And, you know, even at that point, I still had faith. You know, I thought, you know, surely to God, if our governments or the medical system, if they, you know, if this was actually true, they would have acted on it. You know, wouldn't they? Because they've always told us, you know, they're looking for a cure for cancer. They're looking for preventative medicine. So I hate to say it, but I almost didn't even put the extract on these cancers.
Wow.
You know, I didn't. I mean, it was only the only reason I did it is because it had so many other wonderful effects. So I just put a drop of oil on each of these other two lesions, put a bandage on. 4 days later, removed the bandages, pink skin, completely healed. And so I started telling friends and you know, neighbors about it, and basically most of them just laughed in my face. You know, yeah, right, Rick, marijuana cures cancer. Well, I got bad news for you, it does. It's that simple. And so about 7 weeks later, the cancer that they had removed surgically, that came roaring right back, you know, the same puffed up, little bit of bleeding, and it feels like you have splinters, you know, in the affected area. That's what you'll feel if you have basal cell carcinoma. So I watched it develop for a couple of days to make sure, and so I put a drop of oil on that, left the bandage in place for 4 days. That's been 13 and a half years ago. I've never had to retreat any of these areas. And I went to my doctor's office. I got a copy of my pathology report, and it stated right there, basal cell carcinoma. So I had skin cancer, no question. So I wanted to talk to the doctor. But the doctor wouldn't talk to me at all. Didn't want nothing to do with this. So I was on the way home that day, and I got thinking. I said, you know, if I was a small town doctor and one of my patients had cured their cancer with a natural extract from a plant, I think I'd want to know about it.
Sure.
You know, and so I went home and I started supplying, you know, extracts to people with skin conditions at first. And then I started supplying extracts to treat internal conditions like, you know, like cancer. And the results that I was achieving was just beyond belief. You know, terminal cancers turned around and cured, cancer-free, and things of that nature. So,
wow.
I mean, I went to all the political parties in Canada about this. I went to two federal ministers of health. I went to Dr. David Suzuki. I went to the Canadian Cancer Society. We even took this to the United Nations. Nobody would lift a finger. No one.
So at this point, you were probably under the your thoughts were that you had stumbled across this, but you probably didn't know what you knew now, that they knew full well that this cured it, right? You still thought they had good intentions.
Well, when they wouldn't look at the evidence that I had provided, and I had plenty of it, I realized that, you know, these people were corrupted right to the core. They had to be. So then I took my case to the public. So, I mean, I went to the local newspapers in 2004. They did big full-page write-ups about my activities. I never hid what I was doing. I was growing the plants and giving the extracts to the patients for nothing, for God's sakes. So, I mean, I wasn't hiding a thing. And then in 2004, we put up the phoenixtears.ca website. And so at that point, we told the whole world how they could cure themselves. And then in 2007, Christian Lorette and I got together and we produced this documentary we made called Run from the Cure. And the Run from the Cure now, it's been viewed now by hundreds of millions of people. It's been on satellite TV and stuff all over the world. So, you know, it's been a very widely viewed documentary, and it's been very helpful in bringing the truth out. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just so, like, going through what I went through in Canada, you know, I really thought that sooner or later that the government would wise up, because it was so obvious, you know, the wonderful healing powers these extracts had, but they just kept coming and raiding me. You know, in 2005, they took 1,620 plants out of my backyard, which I had already told them were there. You know, I mean, I didn't hide a damn thing. I even asked the RCM, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police, for what the good bud that they confiscated so I could make more medicine. you know, but of course, the same, then 3 months later, the same detachment comes and raids me. You know, talk about corruption. And then in 2006, I planted another 1,100 clones right in my backyard. They come in again. This time they called themselves the Marijuana Eradication Program.
Oh, you know, God.
As far as I'm concerned, there's nothing. I wasn't charged or anything. I was charged in 2005, but not in 2006. You see, 2005, I was charged with cultivation, trafficking, and possession. Well, if I didn't cultivate the plants, how could I provide the extracts? And, of course, I had to possess the cannabis, you know. I couldn't make the extract without it. And as far as trafficking, I mean, if you look up the definition of trafficking in a dictionary, it says the exchange of goods for monetary gain. Well, I certainly wasn't gaining anything. Mm. You know, these charges were totally ridiculous. But they took the crop in 2006 again. I actually ran in a federal election that year against our local member of parliament. And that was kind of shocking for some people. Matter of fact, I did it again in 2008. But, well, just to let the public know I was still there.
That's great.
Well, I mean, I did everything, you know, as right as you possibly could.
But the thing is, Rick, you know, at this point, I've got to give you credit because a lot of people wouldn't do that. They wouldn't have the balls to do what you've done and you know, stand against these people. And, you know, I just think that it's such a show of courage against these authorities. So, yeah, just thanks for that.
Well, I'm not going to sit still and let the authorities kill my kids or anyone else's kids. And this is what they're doing, you know, for God's sakes. And, you know, like when I first went into the court system, they told me that I should mount a charter challenge because in Canada, under the charter, the Canadian Charter of Freedoms and Rights, it states right there, as Canadians, we all have the right to life. But I found through the legal system that they only extend that right to people who are willing to take the pharmaceuticals and, you know, poisonous medications from the medical system. You know, that's okay. But if you want to use the extract from a natural plant to save your own life, you can't do that. You know, it was truly pathetic. So the charter challenge was rejected. Then I went into the Supreme Court of Nova Scotia. I had to defend myself because I didn't have any money. And they tried the prosecution. I mean, they lead off. They put all of these RCMP officers on the stand. And, I mean, as soon as the cross-examination come, I mean, I would hold up a copy of the local paper, full-page article, picture of me and everything, a year before I was ever charged. I said, you know, would a criminal go to the local papers and, you know, have them do a great big article like this? Well, each and every officer had to admit that, you know, they would, you know, a criminal wouldn't do that. And I asked them about all the information that I had provided the RCMP with, because I provided the same information I provided the government with. And all they say was, well, we know this information, but we've never viewed it. So I asked them, I said, you know, is it common practice for the Royal Canadian Mounted Police not to look at evidence? And of course, they couldn't answer, and the judge wouldn't make them. You know, and then they put on their wonderful marijuana expert, the Royal Canadian Mounted Police marijuana expert. Well, this clown got on the stand, and I warned the prosecutor before they put him on there. I said, when it comes to the cross-examination, I'm going to shred this fool. And they put him on there, and he went on about, you know, cannabis being addictive and dangerous and the great, you know, history of what he knows, which was nothing. Mm. So on the cross-examination, I said to him, I said, you're here as an expert, you know, in the field of marijuana. Is that correct? And he said, yes. I said, well, what do you know about hemp, about cannabis hemp? Well, I don't know anything about that. You know, I'm a marijuana expert. And I said, you're a marijuana expert, but you don't know that cannabis hemp is actually marijuana? Is that what you're telling me? And, he got all red in the face. And I hit him in every direction you could. I mean, at one point, it shocked me because I asked him, I said, have you ever smoked cannabis yourself? And he admitted that he had. You know, and I said, did you become addicted? Well, no. You know, I made a total fool of him. So then, you know, when I was to present my case, I had 10 patients there. Two of these patients had been cured with terminal cancer. They were cancer-free. I had subpoenaed 6 doctors, and I had a mountain of scientific evidence, you know, a great big box full of it. And the judge wouldn't allow the patients to take the stand. He wouldn't allow the doctors to take the stand. And then they wouldn't let me introduce the scientific evidence. And in the end, I mean, the only one who could testify on my behalf was me. And I really didn't think that there was a hope in hell that they could ever, you know, find me guilty, because there was members of that damn jury that I had treated some of their own family members.
Wow.
You know, for nothing, and healed them. So, you know, I couldn't believe this whole case even took place. But anyway, at the end of it, we gave our closing arguments. The jury was excused. And so 3 hours later, they called back to the courthouse. So I go back to the courthouse, and when I went in, the prosecutor from the Justice Department, this Monica McQueen, she had done all the talking during my charter challenge and during my Supreme Court case. But her sidekick was the Crown Prosecutor, Doug Shatford, from Amherst. So when I came into the courthouse, or in the courtroom, Shatford wasn't there. And I thought, this is strange. So a few minutes later, in comes Shatford, and he sat down, and then in come the jury. And so I stood up, and all it was guilty, guilty, guilty. And I kind of exploded then, and I looked at them, and I said, guilty of what? Saving lives? Is that a crime in Canada?
Wow.
You know, and then the judge, he contacted her, he come up and he said, oh, you know, Mr. Simpson, you can't take this personally. And I was ready to tear them apart.
Wow.
But the very next day, a lady who had been in the audience, she called me up and she told me, she said she had witnessed Doug Shatford exiting the jury room just a minute or two before the jury came in. That man tampered with my damn jury, and he's been known to do this in other cases.
Wow.
You know? But the judge was made aware of all this. They wouldn't do a damn thing. And as far as, it, you know, the way it looked to me, they were just out to hang me. You know, I was facing 12 years in jail. But on the day of my sentencing, when I went to the courthouse that day, there was about 35 or 40 supporters, you know, of mine that came there to the court that day. And believe me, they weren't in a good mood. So when the judge got up there, he said, you know, he said, under different circumstances, Mr. Simpson would be winning awards for his work. And, you know, it was just to me, it was just kind of ridiculous. And then he come out, you know, and he said, in my 34 years in the legal system, I've never seen a case like this. There was no criminal intent. There had never even been a mention of money during all my court cases, or all my, you know, all the time I spent in court. So, but then the same judge who would not allow the scientific evidence to be introduced and would not allow the patients on the stand, he come out and openly stated, he said, the scientific evidence does exist to back up everything Mr. Simpson is saying, and he also has this large body of evidence from all these patients, you know, that he's provided these extracts to. So instead of crying out for joy that we now had the greatest medicine of our dreams, this court case went on like it meant nothing. They gave me a $2,000 fine and a gun restriction. And there was no firearms involved with anything that the RCMP had did. I mean, they were waving guns around, yes. I wasn't. But what happens, you see, if you're convicted of trafficking in Canada, it comes with an automatic gun restriction.
Right.
So after I got out, done with all of that nonsense, I went, you know, I was still free. So at that point, I was thinking about leaving Canada very strongly, because I had enough of the corruption. But the people kept coming, you know, crying on the phone, beating on my door, looking for help. Mm. And I couldn't turn my back on them, so I continued to help them. But then when I went to the Cannabis Cup, I did a speaking tour in October 2009 with Dr. Hanush in the Czech Republic. And then they wanted me to come back to Europe, to Amsterdam, around the 20th of November, to do a lecture at the Cannabis Cup. And they were also going to make me Freedom Fighter of the Year and this stuff. So anyway, I went to the Cup, and I did my lecture and everything, and a couple days later, my son contacted me from Canada, and he told me that the RCMP had gone into my home and raided my property again.
Wow.
And they were claiming that they had found 70 pounds of cannabis, restricted weapons, and actually there was only a child's pellet gun in my house that you could buy in any local hardware store. That's not restricted. And they also stated that they found booby traps. You know, and I realized at that point, you know, that I had to remain in Europe, because I knew if I went back to Canada what I'd be facing, you know, all that corruption in the legal system again.
Yeah.
So I just said, okay, you want me out of Canada? Fine. So I stayed out of Canada for about 3 years, but I continued to do lectures and things of that nature practically everywhere I went, you know, to educate Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, in 2012, the Crown withdrew these bogus charges, because none of it was based in reality anyway. I mean, you actually think I would leave my house in the country in a very secluded spot, leave 70 pounds of cannabis in it, and go to Europe? I mean, that don't make any sense. You know, I'd already been robbed twice, so I knew better than that. But after they dropped the charges, I did return to Canada for a few months, but I just couldn't, I wasn't comfortable there. It wasn't my home anymore. I mean, all I seen was, you know, everywhere I looked, all I seen was corruption, and I seen a population, although they knew the truth, they were not willing to stand up and do anything about it. So, yeah. I came back to Europe in late 2013, and believe me, when I left Canadian airspace, I breathed a sigh of relief, and I still, my mother's still there, and my brother, and I have my own children that are still there, but if I ever have the money, the first thing I'm going to do is get them out of that horrible country.
Oh, yeah. I really sympathize with you, and just what you've done to bring this information out to people is fantastic, and hats off to you, Rick. And just want to speak to you, really. We know the issues. We know that this is all being suppressed. What are the solutions? What can we do about this, in your opinion?
Well, we have to create, you know, we have to create a public awakening. We all have to work together to do that. You know, get people together, like-minded people together, then get hooked up with other organizations that are like-minded. You know, we have to take this on as quickly as possible. And I mean, there's no shortage of information out there and evidence all over the internet. I've got two books out there on this subject. They're available, you know, at my website. Phoenix Tears, the Rick Simpson Story, and Phoenix Tears, Rick Simpson Oil, Nature's Answer for Cancer. They're both there as ebooks. They're also available on Amazon Kindle as ebooks. And my first book, The Rick Simpson Story, it's available in print version on my website. And my wife and I, she's recently started her own small publishing firm called Simpson Ramador. And that's Ramadur. And we just had the translation done for Spanish. So both the Spanish and English translations are available from Simpson Ramador. And, I hope the public will support this because, you know, you would think, you know, somebody doing what I'm doing, you'd think these foundations and philanthropists would get behind you. But that's not the case. No one has ever got behind this, really. Yeah. You know, and the only thing I have to carry this crusade on with is just the funding that we receive from book sales. Mm-hmm. You know, so this is, you know, it's been very hard on us, and we do a mountain of work, you know, each day. I'm so happy with what my wife has been doing. I mean, you know, she's been helping with this mountain of emails we get and all the requests for interviews. You know, she helps set this all up.
Yeah.
But really, it's led us to the point now that we're almost totally exhausted.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I tell people, you know, the information, almost all the information you could want is right there on the website. But mm-hmm. people don't want to read today. They mm-hmm. go to the website, they get the email address, and then they email us instead of reading what's there. You know, so I'm requesting that people start doing this because, you know, we're just overloaded with work and we can't handle the workload anymore. There's just two of us.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
And really, you know, I tell everyone, look, if you have a sick or dying loved one, for God's sakes, go to Phoenix Tears, read the information over. And as far as I'm concerned, I don't want to tell people to break the law, but when you look at these laws and you look at the fact they're not even real, mm-hmm. I mean, you have to do what you have to do. And I'm hoping that in a short time we can get this all resolved peacefully and mm-hmm. make a smooth transition into a better way of life. And if the rich elite will allow this, this could easily be accomplished. But mm-hmm. if they're going to continue on with this nonsense, you know, and all these restrictions and regulations and arresting people, if that's going to continue on, then it gets to the point you have to fight fire with fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope it don't go to this, but, you know, I want to see this done without violence. But if these people are going to carry on harming our families, then perhaps it's about time we started looking at doing the same for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, we're at that point, aren't we? So I think the message coming loud and clear is that, you know, Rick is doing it more or less on his own with the help of his wife. So we all need to shoulder that responsibility. This is a plant that is beneficial for all of us, for our planet, for humanity. and we all need to speak out about this and bring this to the attention. And go to Rick's website, it's all there, as he says, and you know, read the information and read the books, look at the books, buy the books. We can support Rick and his wife in that sense, and take some of that responsibility off your shoulders, and all start pitching together and helping this. You've done the hard graft, we need to support you on this part now, and you know, I certainly look to be doing that myself, and I'm sure a lot of the listeners will. And it's just been go on.
Oh, this is just about self-sufficiency, Tony. I mean, this is something, a medicine that you can produce yourself with ease. There's nothing to it, and it sets us, you know, it sets us free from this horrible medical system we have today. So, you know, this is really what it's all about. You know, just setting the human race free. I never tried to patent anything or anything of that nature. I don't believe in this. I mean, if you have something like this that can help humanity, you know, I mean, many people have said to me, you know, like, why did you do this? Well, I mean, once I knew what these extracts could do, how could I sit there and watch my friends and neighbors suffer and die when I had the answer? You know, was I willing to, how could I be willing? I'd have to be a psychopath myself to be willing to keep that information hidden. I simply did the right thing, and I mean, I consider myself to be nothing more than the messenger. Yes. It's these extracts that do all the healing, you know, I don't think you could say God sent me. It's just the amazing healing power of these extracts, and that's where I give all the credit to.
Yeah, well, you know, you've stepped into your responsibility, and, you know, that's what we all need to do, and I just, you know, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, as I'm sure I speak on behalf of a lot of the listeners here, and... yeah, it's just been a real honor talking to you today, and you know, I just hope that we can carry this through, like you say, and yeah, just a fantastic interview, and I hope everyone finds it beneficial, and yeah, just thanks for agreeing to speak to me today, Rick, and thanks to your lovely wife Daniela, who's helped set this up.
Well, it's been a pleasure working with you, Tony, and. You know, I mean, I look at you, you know, people like yourself, you know, I think anybody that stands up for the truth is actually a hero. And, I mean, I couldn't do any of this, you know, without people like you. So, I feel a great deal of gratitude towards individuals such as you, and I think you're doing great work, brother.
Okay, that's great. Thanks so much for that, Rick, and hopefully we'll catch up again soon.
Okay, brother. Have a good day.
Bye now. Bye.